Hello, everybody. I hope you can hear me. This is BL Allison, and I see several of you here right now. You are all muted right now, and we do that for sound reasons. But I'm going to unmute everybody just for a minute, just so everybody can say hi really quick, and then we'll get into some administrative details, okay? Okay, I'm not smart enough to unmute y'all. Brett, can you hear me? Can you unmute them? Can anybody hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can somebody unmute?
I'm working on it.
Oh, thank you. Okay, it's working.
I can't unmute Anna. I don't see what the problem is.
Okay, Austin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Leah, are you there?
Yes, good morning from Australia.
Good morning. Terry, are you there? Yvonne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Anna, we can't unmute you. Oh. Okay. Hello, everybody. Let me just mute everybody again, and let me start with the admin stuff, and then we're going to get into introductions where everybody will get to introduce themselves, okay? This webinar is on the labors of Hercules, and it's for the Great Quest students. We also have several faculty members with us today. We do have a problem. At number one, we are recording this, so we can send it out for people to look at later who've missed the webinar. We do have a problem with noise when too many people are unmuted and when not everybody has headsets. So we like to keep everybody muted unless it's time for them to speak, and that will cut down on the background noise. There's two different ways to mute. We can mute you as the organizers, and you can also mute yourself. And we actually prefer that both ways are done. The thing is, when it's time for you to talk and we unmute you, please make sure you unmute yourself as well, too. Now, we will cue you to talk when it's time for you to introduce yourself, but if you have a question, you should also have a little hand. It should be right here in the neighborhood. This is your microphone, and it should be right here in the neighborhood of under your microphone. I don't have it in this example, but see, you'll have this little arrow right here. If it's collapsed, please open it. Please click on it so that it opens to the left, and there you'll see your microphone where you can mute and unmute yourself. It should have a red bar through it for you right now because we've got you muted. And then below that, there should be a hand. If you're not able, if the hand isn't working for you, you can also type us a message, and I'll show you that in just a minute. The hand, it's got a little arrow on it, and if the arrow is going up, that means that's the opportunity for you to raise your hand. If the arrow is going down, that's the opportunity for you. It means your hand is raised, and that's the opportunity for you to lower your hand. Okay? We do have several staff members helping me here today. Kay, Francis, Eva, Brett, and they'll help me watch for the hands. There is a time delay in the speaking because we're talking to each other from around the world, and the internet can sometimes be slow. So pause a moment after you've said something to wait for the answer. And if you have problems with echoes or interference, usually that means we all have that same problem. Try muting yourself first to see if that helps correct the problem. If not, use the function down here where you can type a message to us to let us know that you're having difficulty. If your hand raising is not working, you can also use this message function here to alert the staff. Either myself or one of the others will look for that, okay? All right. Now we're going to unmute you one at a time, and we're going to try and introduce ourselves. Let me start with my introduction. I'd like you to give your full name and the place where you live and a brief background on your occupation and your studies. I'd like to limit it to about 1 minute each, please. Hello, my name is B.L. Allison, and I live in Florida. I'm a retired human resources analyst, and I worked for the federal government for 40 years. I've been studying the Alice Bailey books, and especially esoteric astrology, for about 20 years now. I'm on the faculty at the Moira Federation, and I work with the Path, the Energy, and the Great Quest courses. Okay. Brett, can you... Okay, Asha, you should be unmuted. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yes, I'm Asha. I'm a GQ, the second year in the Great Quest program. Can you hear me okay?
You're a little low.
A little low, okay. I'm in the second year of the GQ program, and I was familiar with Alice Bailey's work many years ago, but I kind of took it up again when I met Eva in Toronto. I live in New Jersey, and I used to be a math specialist, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, welcome. Okay, let's mute you again and try Anna. Anna.
Yes.
Can you please introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Anna Linsen. I am a student of the Seventh Wave University.
Okay, I can see that you're typing.
Yes.
You're a student of the Seven Ray University.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you live?
In Massachusetts.
Ah, okay, thank you.
In Massachusetts, in South Barry, I studied for more than 30 years Alice books. I started when I was 17 years old, so I followed this practice for many years, and I am very interested to receive help from Seven Ray University. I follow the instruction from there, and then I do my own investigation and different kind of books.
Well, thank you, Anna. Let's mute you now and move on to Austin.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Austin, and Yes, my occupation is I'm an advocate for foster youth for learning to live on their own. I guess I don't have a lot of experience. Picked up things kind of here and there. I've just stumbled upon Moria Federation, and yeah, it's been great so far.
Well, welcome, and these are your classmates. That's one of the reasons we wanted to have this webinar, was to get you all together with the other Great Quest students, because think of this as your homeroom. These are people who can help you along in your journey. Okay, so let's mute you and say hi to Leah.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Leah. I'm living in Brisbane, Australia. My occupation is that of a Chinese medicine practitioner. I have a full-time clinic work. I've been involved with the ancient wisdom for many, many years, and am part of the faculty with the Moira Federation. At the moment, I'm a mentor, and I'm focusing on Treatise of White Magic and the service section. And it's lovely to be here with you.
Thank you for being here with us. Okay, let's... Terry, let's see if we can... Oops, Terry. Terry, can you hear us? Well, Terry is part of the faculty, and he lives in England, and apparently we're having problems hearing him right now. Terry, can you type something? Okay, let's move on to Yvonne, and we'll go back to Terry in a little bit.
I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am a retired nurse anesthetist, and I've been studying the Alice Bailey material for about 13 years, and I've been involved in healing since about 92. And I've been using the Labors of Hercules in a full moon meditation group for a few years now. And I'm on a phone.
Oh, okay. I'm glad that that worked for you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, let me mute you again, and then I'd like the staff to please. Eva, you want to start, please?
Sure. Hi, I'm Eva Smith, and I am part of the faculty at the Moria Federation. I teach a variety of different subject matters, primarily the energies, the path, astrology, and so on. And this is my full-time job at this time. I've been doing it for a long, long time.
Thank you. And Francis?
I forgot to mention I'm in Toronto.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Hi, I'm Francis Donald. I'm also on the faculty of the Moria Federation for 2 years now. I'm a fine artist, and now dedicate myself to painting images of the inspired by the Tibetans' teachings. So, like Eva, I'm also full time in my involvement of the ancient wisdom teachings. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
And we see Francis's lovely artwork with every full moon that Michael does. So I'm just blown away by that. Kay, would you like to say hello?
Hello, everybody. I'm Kay Hannon from Rockhampton, Australia, and I'm in the... had emails from me or talked with me at some stage or another, and I do faculty-student liaison work, and that takes up quite a deal of my time. Been on campus since 2009, and also have been studying the Aegis Wisdom for about 20 years prior to that. No expertise in any of those areas, but just general, and still studying. And it's great to see you all here.
You have expertise in the campus, and we all appreciate that. Okay, Brett, want to say hi?
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Brett Mitchell. I'm in Mesa, Arizona, in the United States, where the international conference is held every year. I provide technical support to the Moria Federation and Michael Robbins activities. I'm currently, by the way, logged in as Michael Robbins because he is not able to attend today. And I am mentee to several people in Quest Universal. I'm faculty on several classes, and I'm course head on Course 310 on Illusion and Course 410 on the Cosmic Chakras. I'm very glad to be with you today. I hope this works out well for everyone.
We are very glad to have you with us too, because you are our sound guru. You're our video guru. And you're helping me, which this is my very first one. So Brett is walking me through it. All right, let's try Terry one more time. Terry, can
you hear me?
Yes, hello. Okay.
Oh, great. What a spattle. Sorry about that. I'm Terry Chivers, and my background is 20 years ago, I was a lecturer at a university. And after that, I retired in 1991. And since then, I've been back with the Arcane School and with the Michael Robbins Moria Federation. Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you for being with us. Okay, now I would like everybody to just raise their hand so we know you've got that function, and then leave it for a minute or two, and then put it down again so that we know you all know how to do that, and we all know where to go look for it. I see all of them. I don't see Yvonne's or Leia's. Maybe you guys did them when I was... There you go. Oh, Yvonne, you're on the phone. That's why. And Anna. Okay, I see them all now. So great. Thank you. If you'll put them down. Oh, Risa. It looks
and
like...
Annabelle White.
Oh, hi. Okay, yeah. Let's go to...
And Victor.
Annabelle, are you there?
Oh, how do I talk?
Are talking. We can hear you fine. Would you like to please introduce yourself?
Oh, my. this is Annabelle White. I'm in Sun City West, Arizona. And I just moved here from Sandpoint, Idaho. And I'm not sure I know how to work everything, BL. I am totally new to the school and to the study. The part that I'm best with is meditation. The rest of it is absolutely foreign study for me.
Well,
okay. I'm your biggest novice.
Austin just admitted that he was also fairly new to this. So you've got a wide range of people here with you, from those that have been studying it for a very long time to the new ones. And basically what we all do is help each other get through it. And we all have our own expertise in one area or another. Okay, let's see who else is new and can say hi. Did someone say Walter? I don't see Walter.
No, Victor.
Oh, Victor. There we go. Hello, Victor. Can you say hi now?
Hello?
Hello?
You hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, wow. I didn't know this mic worked. My name is Victor, and I have been studying this stuff for 25 plus years, but I thought I'd get some formal training in it. I had a teacher that got me onto it, and I studied with her for 4 years. And I got into it because I'd heard that this person had breast cancer and was able to use this magic stuff to cure cancer, and that's what interested me. I wanted to learn how to do that. I had a back injury, and that's how I got into energy work. And so I knew that the stuff worked, but I didn't really understand too much about it. So it's been an experience, awakening. So I love it.
Well, we're happy to have you, and we have 5 years worth of study for you that will eventually get into esoteric healing. But part of that is learning and understanding all of those energies. So I hope we can offer that for you. And let's see if we can get Risa to say hi. Are you unmuted? It looks like you've muted yourself, Risa.
Right.
Bill, Risa somehow is not able to do the audio, but often does write questions and things
actually,
like that.
Actually, I have her so unmuted now. That. Can you hear us? Can you talk, Risa?
Hello, it's Risa. Hi, it's Risa. Can you hear
Hi.
Me?
Hi, yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me? It's Risa.
Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear me?
What else shall I say?
Just hi, Risa, and where are you from?
I can hear you, yes.
Where are you from, Risa? Where do you live?
I live in California and in Oklahoma.
Ah, great.
I live in California and in Oklahoma.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let me put you back on mute. Okay, I think I've got all the new people now, right? Everybody's had a chance to introduce themselves, right? Okay, next what I'm going to do is I set up 4 questions, and there's a little poll function on here. This is something new that we're trying. I'd like you all to please answer the questions that we have. Panelists, you can't. This is just for the attendees. And each of you should be able to answer one of those. I show 56% have voted. Yvonne, I don't think you can vote because you're on the phone. Sorry about that. I think the rest of you can.
I think she can vote.
On the phone?
She's just sound. Phone is sound.
Yeah. Okay, I've got 88% voted. That's probably it then. Because with 9... Okay. Now, can you see the result? Share.
Very good.
Yeah, you guys might be good. You can see it. I can't. Oh, yeah, I can. Okay, so we've got 43% who are not familiar with esoteric astrology, 29% who recognize the signs and planets, 14% who have a good understanding of astrology, no one that says they're very familiar with it, and we have 14% who are an astrologer. So we've got a wide variety here with us. Let's do the next one. And this one, of course, is similar to the other one, but this is esoteric, where the other was exoteric. Probably have one more person to vote. Okay, let's close this one. And then share the results. There we go. Okay. Similar to what we had before, 50% not familiar and 33% recognize, you know, the rays and the esoteric rulers, and just a smattering of the actual esoteric astrologer in here. But that's good. So we see what we've got here. Let's try the next one. This one is the understanding of the relationship between exoteric and esoteric astrology.
BL?
Yes?
On my view of this poll, the sentences are cut off at the end.
You can't see it on the screen?
I can only see part of the sentences. It says, for example, the third item is, I have a good understanding of the relationship between the.
Right, but on the screen itself?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah, in my little dashboard, that's the way it is, but I thought on the screen, which I can't actually see.
It's cut off.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry about that. Well, everybody's voted, so I guess you figured out the direction that I was going with that. Next time I'll know better to keep it small or read them with the last one. Okay, and so we've got, this one is a good mix. Look at this. 25% not familiar with either, 25% recognize the difference, but don't quite understand it, 13% have an understanding of the difference, let me see, between the two, 13% very familiar with the difference between the higher and lower expressions of these energies, and we have right there 25%. I'm an esoteric astrologer with a solid background in traditional astrology. Okay, one more poll to go. If you'll please bear with me. This is a new feature that we're trying out, but I like it. Okay. How familiar are you with the book, The Labors of Hercules? Not familiar at all. Recognize some of the myths, but not much more. A good understanding of the labors. Familiar with both the labors and the lessons imparted. And this bottom one is specifically for Francis. I've worked with the labors for years in meditation practice. Actually, I know several of you have done that. Look at this. We've got a good percentage of that showing up. I know several groups who do the labors for their full moon meditations. There we go. I think we've got everybody voted. 25% not familiar at all. Good. Hope you're going to learn something. 38% recognize some of the myths, but not much more. Again, we're going to go through this. And 38% worked with the labors for years in meditation practice. Good also. You can help the other guys and me as we work with this. Okay. How do I say show my screen again? Okay, does that mean yes? All right. So, now, let's do a quick... Pardon?
Your screen is showing.
Okay, good. Thank you. Let's do a quick mantra for group fusion, because that is, of course, one of our objects, is to work together in group cohesion. All right? Let's all do a quick little alignment. I am one with my group of brothers, and all that I have is theirs. May the love that is in my soul pour forth to them. May the strength that is in me lift and aid them. May the thoughts which my soul creates reach and encourage them. And some silent ohms. Thank you. Okay. Now, today this is just going to be the introduction on the labors of Hercules. If any of you have a question, please remember to raise your hand or type it in. Otherwise, we'll continue just to go along. Okay? Let's see. Terry, I see your hand up. Is there... Annabelle's got a hand up, too. So let's go to Terry first. Terry, can you
hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? You can?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Oh, that's great. Sorry, I didn't realize I had my hand up. Can I be of any assistance at all in anything?
No, but you can put your hand down.
Right, I'll try and find my hand in this lot here. Here we are, I think.
Okay, Annabelle, did you have your hand up or... It's gone now, so either you took it down or... Okay, I don't see... There, I got rid of yours too, Terry. Okay, all right. We're going to be working with for a year, actually 13 months, because this is the intro. So next month we'll start with Aries. Once a month we'll do these webinars on the labors of Hercules and astrological interpretation. Actually, you could spend years studying this book. It has some absolutely wonderful stuff in it, and that's not even getting past the introduction to it. I mean, those first 12 pages are absolutely packed solid with some excellent stuff, as is the whole book. But the scope of this for the Great Quest students is not to get into some of the leads that will be there and will be available to hopefully study in future years. Now we're just going to talk a little bit about the general stuff. Let's see what we've got. Why do we study it? This is absolutely a great quote. The progress of a world disciple is illustrated in the heavens by the labors of Hercules through the zodiacal signs. It is though God had pictured in space his plan for the working out of the evolution of human spirit back to its source. Our primary mission before was involution. We came here to experience. And now we're on the path back to evolution. But it's all part of that divine plan of God's. And it works out for us beautifully, as they say here, his picture in space. The progress of Hercules from the mental plane through the emotional plane and out into the physical plane manifestation shows us a synthetic picture of the work done by every person, not just disciple, but of course you're at that disciple stage. Okay, we are all a son of man and a son of God. This work can and is arduous. It's slow, carried out over many lifetimes, and it's carried forward under great difficulties, often in blind ignorance of the forces that are released and the results to be achieved. But step by step, the aspirant is led along the path of self-knowledge and development. His character and nature are tested and tried until the qualities which characterize the form can be transmuted into those which reveal the soul. Isn't this another great phrase? This is from the latter part of the book, and it's paraphrased, it's not directly, but this is why we study this. This is, it encapsulates everything for us, the planets, the signs, the lessons that we're learning. There's another good quote on this in page 8. This is from the back of the book, but in page 8 in the intro, that talks about in the physical body, handicapped and limited by tendencies conferred on Hercules by the sign in which he is performing the labor, he attains the understanding of his own essential divinity. I see some hands.
Right.
Okay, let's go to Annabelle. Annabelle?
Oh, I'm sorry. My question is there a way to save, as you bring up each of these pages, is there a way for me to save those into my computer?
I can send you a copy of the slides. I need to write down a list of attendees. Kay, Brett, somebody, do I get a list or can I go back and look at the list later? Or can one of you email me a list of the attendees so I know? But I can email you the slides.
Gee, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Anna, you had a question?
I've got that.
It's also worth mentioning that this is being recorded, and so
yes,
they don't have to write things down. If they want to see this later on, the link is going to be sent to everybody, and they can just view the whole thing all over again.
Great. Oh. Thank you, Eva, for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you.
All right. Again, there's so many excellent sound bites in this book. This is a little part here with Hercules. What is the soul, O teacher? Tell me truth. And the teacher responds, that soul of yours you shall discover as you do your task and find and use the nature which is yours. Who are your parents? Tell me this, my son. And Hercules responds, my father is divine. I know him not, except that in myself I know I am his son. My mother is an earthly one. I know her well, and she has made me what you see. Likewise, O teacher of my life, I am also one of twins. There is another one like unto me. I know him well, yet know him not. One is of the earth, thus earthly. The other is a son of God. Isn't that a lovely passage? We see throughout the labors of Hercules, the teacher, the presiding one, is always there. And we see that in regular life too, whether it's the guardian angel, the solar angel, the soul. We always have that higher level. And of course, the more evolved we become, the level changes as to who that is, whether it's initially the soul to the personality, and then when the soul controls and we get in the realm of where we can deal with the solar angel and the master, it becomes them. And we see that in the initiations too. You see that in the difference in the presiding presiding person at the time of the initiation. So I just wanted to point that out to you because we see the teacher and the presiding one throughout all the labors. At first, if you just read the myth, I mean, I spent years, you know, studying Greek mythology, and I had no clue how it was associated with astrology in any way. But there's so much wealth of knowledge in these myths and how they relate to the sign. By combining the astrological symbolic story, the tests of everyday life of a disciple are shown. Tests for you, tests for me. Via the sign in which the myth itself takes place. Remember that one passage where he basically incarnates in each sign to learn that lesson, and that's how the myth goes. That's the relationship between the myth and the sign. Each sign subjects the disciple to the influences of distinctive forces and provides him with certain tendencies. Path of least resistance is usually the worst part of those tendencies, and the soul work is usually the best part of those tendencies. So we need to understand that, to understand the true meaning of the test. And this book gives us great correlations in that regard, and we're going to look at that with each of the signs. This is basically a recap of the end of the book, but the first four signs are preparatory signs. They equip the disciple to deal with the faculty of mind in Aries, with desire in Taurus, with essential duality in Gemini, and then Cancer, the gate into incarnation, where he enters the human kingdom. Then the next four signs are the physical plane struggle, self-consciousness and individualism that emerge in Leo, nurturing the Christ within in Virgo, trying to balance that narrow razor's edge balance between the pairs of opposites that happens in Libra, and then overcoming illusion in the battles in Scorpio. Then the final four signs are of achievement, going straight to the goal in Sagittarius, scaling the mountain of initiation in Capricorn, becoming the world server in Aquarius, and the world savior in Pisces. So this is basically what this book is all about, how all 12 of these signs in these stages of four each teach us about our own divinity and our own understanding as we evolve, as we face these final 12 tests. Now, Hercules on the path. Anna, do you have a question still? Let's see. Try this again. Oops, I put it down. I did the wrong thing. Okay, there.
Oh, I don't know if some of these on my hands to see on. But let me take it out.
Oh, you just put it there again.
Yes, I... Excuse me?
You just put it there again.
I don't know if I did mistake, but I didn't do with purpose. My hands on.
Okay, I put it down. All right, we're good then. Okay, so what we see with Hercules is that he sets out very confident, little realizing the magnitude of his tasks, and he was totally unprepared for failure. Sound like anybody you know? I know it sounds a lot like me. He's not only impulsive, but he isn't always successful in these tasks. He fails some outright and has to redo them. In some, it takes him more than a year to get it done because he gets waylaid. And in some cases, he finishes, but he finishes very badly. And we see that he is still susceptible to glamour and illusion. We know he's solidly on the path of discipleship, and we know he's going to succeed. But he still has all these struggles that he has to go through as he's set on performing the 12 acts of service for humanity and proving that he's mastered the 12 signs. So, yes?
Can I interject something here? Since I don't have a hand to stick up, I just have to rudely barge in here.
Please go ahead, Francis.
Okay. One thing I want to make clear to all of you is that according to the Tibetan, Hercules really existed. He wasn't, you know, a mythological figure in the sense that he was made up as a metaphor for, you know, to express a series of ideas. Dwal Khol tells us that, you know, he really came here a long, long, long time ago. And the thing that's most relevant about him for us is that he introduced the path of discipleship. And so in a certain way, out of all the avatars, that, you know, Dwal Khol mentions four avatars most frequently, and Hercules is often the first one mentioned. And out of those, which include Buddha and the Christ, he is the one closest to where we are on the path, because he introduces our process. And as BL was saying, you know, we also fail a lot in our efforts to become. And so there's a quality of identification that you'll be able to experience with Hercules that, you know, for instance, with the Christ, you don't often hear of him failing in his efforts. He's, and this is unique to Hercules, so I wanted to bring that up at this point.
Thank you. That's true. I mean, the examples that he gives us, and we know that he is a disciple. He has reversed. You know, we start out going through the signs the wrong way. We get power first before we know how to deal with it, the power in Capricorn. We go about it completely the wrong way as we go from Aries to Pisces to Aquarius without even understanding what it means to be a server there. To Capricorn, where we've got the power but don't know how to use it wisely, to Sagittarius, where we don't know the proper goal to set for ourselves, and so on as we go through for eons, circling the wrong way around. But when we get to the point where Hercules is, we start going through the signs in the right order. We reverse on the great wheel, and we go Aries to Taurus to Gemini, and we learn the lessons in the manner that they were intended to be used. And we do this, we're told, in esoteric astrology. We do this with the wheel turning upon itself. So one is a consciousness aspect, as we're working in the right direction, while the physical, while the other part is still going in, is still reversing around the wheel the other way. And this is part of the problem that we encounter, is the higher and lower self at odds with each other, and how we have to balance that. I see plenty of hands. Let's start with Victor. Victor, you're unmuted.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. Okay. The question I have is, you were talking about the first four signs is one part, and then the next four something else. Can you tell from what sign a person is born in is how far along on the path they are?
No. And there's a lot of things that are involved in that. Let me mute this right here. I was getting an echo, I'm sorry. Theoretically, what we're talking about here is the soul level, and the soul level is actually the ascendant, but I think there have been a lot of people who've studied and tried to put that correlation on just how the soul equates to where you are on the path, and you know how the ascendant equates to where you are on the path, and it isn't necessarily working. So there's no one-for-one relationship. Astrology is a lot more subtle than that. It can give us some indications, but in my experience, it isn't going to actually pinpoint for us where we are on the path. Eva, Francis, any of you other astrologers, do you have any comments you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I'd just say that, you know, you can make yourself a pencil, an object in a crafts shop, and it'll have a chart. You know, it was made at a certain moment, and you know, if you cast that chart, you can see all these aspects, etc. But the very first thing that always has to be taken into account is the Tibetan tells us that is that you must determine the level of consciousness of the one whose chart it is. It's not inherent in the chart itself. Ava, do you have some ideas about that? I'd like to hear them if you do.
I just unmuted myself. I mute myself. There's a lot of action going on in this house, and I didn't want to disturb. You know, you're on the right track. I missed some of what was said before because I got distracted, so I'm not too sure if I'm answering what is really being discussed here. But primarily, like you say, the consciousness aspect, we are told as astrologers, needs to be determined to really read an astrology chart properly. And that is a very difficult thing to do. So we take for granted that most people that come to us are somewhat awakened. Being that, then we also look at the esoteric rulerships, and then we do look at it from the perspective of an awakened individual who is on the path. Are you discussing this kind of thing right now?
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
Thank
relevant.
You. That's right. It, yes. Okay, now let me unmute you for a minute, Victor, to see if that answered all your questions before we move on to... Okay, you're unmuted again.
What I wanted to actually say, if you don't mind, is that earlier you mentioned that as a disciple, he is still susceptible. He is generic, so he, she is still susceptible to glamour and illusion. And I'm just wondering if the new people that are new to this work really understand what we're talking about when we say glamour and illusion. And I don't know if you want to pick that up or not, BL. I don't want to step on your parade, if you know what I mean.
Well, I can do it, or you can do it. Go ahead. Go ahead, please, and mention it.
When we say, in our terminology here, in the esoteric wisdom terminology, we are referring to having the wool pulled over our eyes and not really seeing things the way they truly are. And truly is the real being the soul. So everything else is perceived with, you know, misperceptions and not with great clarity the way the real, and I quote that in quotation marks, is. So that's what glamour is. It's a very generic word, and it covers a lot. And illusion, of course, is usually of the mind. So glamour and illusion go hand in hand together. We feel things and therefore it skews the way we think about it. We think about things and it skews the way we feel about things. All that falls into the category of glamour and illusion, to say it very quickly.
Right, and I'd just like to emphasize glamour is, you mentioned it, that it's the feeling, that it's usually associated with the astral and illusion with the mental, and that's where you get the two of them together. Okay, now let's go back to Victor. Okay, did we answer your question, Victor?
Well, not kind of, but I have, the question really was, you know, I've been studying the seven rays for a good number of years. The thing is, what does the chart correlate with that knowledge, the seven rays? Does the chart actually show anything? Have to do a lot of studying it to interpret the different planets and the different positions and all that?
You have to do a lot of studying. It doesn't come clear out and say things. It gives you indications, and it gives you an idea of your energies, and the planets themselves give you an idea of the nature of those energies, and then how, you know, like Mercury is communications, among other things, and the sign will then tell you how you're going to communicate. And then you also look at the esoteric versus the exoteric, the higher and the lower. There's all kinds of indications in there that show us the energy patterns that we have, but it doesn't really come right out and tell you flat out, somebody with this and this is going to be this level on the path, or they're going to be, this is, you know, the labor that they're working on. It doesn't really, it's not quite that crystal clear.
Can I add something here too?
Yeah,
sure, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, Francis.
Go ahead.
A very good question, by the way, Victor. All the signs and all the planets distribute rays. But just because somebody has a lot of planets or signs that distribute a particular ray, let's say a lot of them distribute the third ray, it does not necessarily mean that an individual has third ray as part of their makeup, their hypothesis. So the chart does not really help you know your personal rays. What the chart does do is it helps you know what rays you can wield through those various signs and planets. And that is why we say that a person has to have a pretty good idea of their rays and their astrology, put them both together to complete the picture. Thereby you shall know thyself. It's the two working together.
Right. Well said. Thank you. And you wanted to add something, Francis, before we get to Asha? Francis? I guess we lost him, so we'll go to Asha's question. Asha, are you there? You had a question?
Yes. My question...
we can barely hear you.
Let me try it out. Is this better?
Yes, a little.
Okay. So I'm better without the microphone. My question is, he isn't always successful and he fails and has to redo some labors. Is there a cosmic, I don't know how to phrase this, like on a soul's journey, certain opportunities come and go, and if you fail, quote unquote, fail, can you hear me?
Yes.
If you quote unquote fail, is there like a cosmic moment that comes and goes, and you have really failed in the scheme of things, like the planets are aspected? I come from India originally, but there's something ingrained in me, you know, there's aspects that have to, you know, if you don't seize the moment, the cosmic opportunities come and go, and then for that lifetime, that opportunity is gone if you were not able to do it? Or is it something that is a continuously available for you, should you, with your actions and choices and free will and alignments, that is always there for you to step into? Or is it a window? You see what I'm saying?
I think I do. And yes, it's a window of opportunity based on certain alignments. And if you don't take advantage of that opportunity at that time, you may have lost that opportunity. But everything is cyclic, so it may come back again. With some opportunities, it will not be this lifetime, but it will be some time. With other opportunities, it may be a short distance down the road that the opportunity comes back. There does, of course, reach a point in everybody's lifetime where they are no longer progressing. There are a couple of mentions in the Blue Book. I don't have a reference for you right now where it basically talks that that's the point where you're no longer progressing, that this particular life is probably done for you. Does that answer for you pretty much what your question was?
Yes, but it's not what I wanted to hear.
Oh. Yes, the opportunities come back. That's not what you wanted to hear.
Well, I mean, the moment does go. I mean, if you don't seize the moment, it does go. But I mean, yes, in the time-space continuum, it comes back again.
Yes.
But the soul's impulse is always towards evolution, right?
Sure. It can be a step forward and a step backward, but yes, the soul does push onward, and you'll always get more opportunities. And we learn that with Hercules, and we learn it in other ways.
Asha, life is constantly testing us, and that's what Hercules went through, all these tests. You know, we fail tests sometimes, don't we? He failed them too. Then he gets opportunities to try them again and again. We all know that. We get opportunities to try our tests again and again. And every time you learn something, you're going to get tested. See if you actually learned it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay, well, we've been at this for about an hour now. I would like to thank you for participating. Next month we'll start with Aries, and we'll talk about the sign itself. We'll talk a little bit about the ruling planets, the opposite sign. We'll talk, of course, about the myth and the lessons of the myth to do with Aries. We'll be doing it on April 13th. That will actually be while we have the conference ongoing. But I will be there at the conference, so I will be broadcasting from the conference. So I hope to see you all attending then. And I would like to again remind you that this, I hope, is an opportunity for you to get together amongst yourself and discuss things. And we always appreciate any feedback. You can send us emails if you had difficulties or there was something that you didn't like, let us know so we don't do it again. I'm going to try and unmute everybody so we can all just say a real quick goodbye. Unless, oh, Anna, do you have your hand up again? Anna, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, I just want to say thank you so much for your intervention. I think this group is doing a great job, and my first language is Spanish, for that. Sometimes if I don't have the connection with the words in English, but, I still very interested to be in other interventions like this. So if I'm not very familiar with this book, because I concentrate the study with the astrology esoteric and other rest of the book, Alice Bailey, but was really interesting to hear the conversation and the intervention with other people. So I just would like to keep following the other intervention and participation with the group. So thank you so much for everything.
Oh, well, you're welcome, and thank you all for attending. Okay, let me unmute. Well, wait a minute. Yvonne couldn't raise her hand. Let me see. Yvonne, did you have any questions for us?
No, thank you all very much.
Okay, let me just see if I can unmute everybody individually so we can all say a nice goodbye to everybody. Is everybody unmuted?
Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you all for attending. Goodbye, everybody.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you for your job.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I had a question. Like you said, next time is going to be Aries. Is there anything that we could study or read about to be a little bit more familiar?
Yes. And by the way, thank you for asking that question. We have the next one is on the 13th of April, and that's 5 weeks away. Please read the introduction to the Labors of Hercules and also the Aries labor. In my email where I introduced this this meeting, I gave you a link to a PDF version if you don't have the, actually have the book or the CD.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thanks. That'll be helpful.
Okay, well,
thank
goodbye.
You, Danielle.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you, staff, all of you for attending.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danielle, for a job well done.
Thanks, Eva. Okay, thank goodbye, you. Everybody.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.